Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. You're very close to the end of the first half of the church year, which follows the life of Christ from the manger to the Mount of Olives. During Advent and Christmas, we meditated upon the good news that our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary. He became poor for our sake, that by his poverty we might become rich, possessing the very treasures of heaven itself. Then during Epiphany, we heard how our Lord Jesus Christ manifested his glory to his apostles in his miracles and teaching, for example, in changing water into wine at the wedding at Cana, and in his glorious transfiguration on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. This man who came in the form of a servant is none other than the only begotten Son of God, the fullness of deity dwelling bodily in him. Then during the season of Lent, and especially during Holy Week, we are reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, not with gold or silver, not with perishable things, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that we may be his own. By his death, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into his eternal kingdom. Then at Easter, we rejoiced that our Lord Jesus Christ is truly risen from the grave, that he lives and reigns to all eternity, and that he has brought life and immortality to light. Because he lives, all who believe in him through the gospel shall live forever. And then just a few days ago, on Ascension, we lifted up our eyes unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who having died and risen indeed, is crowned with glory and honor, seated at the right hand of the Father. He lives and reigns to all eternity, ever interceding for us as our own great high priest. Now finally, Pentecost is at hand. 1 week from today, we will hear how our Lord Jesus Christ kept his promise, how he sent to the apostles the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, that the Spirit would bring to the apostles remembrance all that Jesus said and did, that he would help the apostles bear witness to Christ in their preaching and writing, so that many, yes, even you, would come to faith in Christ through their testimony. But that's still a week away. The church, in her calendar, doesn't rush ahead to Pentecost. She waits, just like the disciples did. She waits to hear of the promise of the Father. But this time of waiting, these 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, are not in vain. It is good for us to wait. It is good for us to take some time. It is good for us to be reminded who this Holy Spirit is before we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. It is good for us to consider what our Lord Jesus Christ has to say about him, because the Holy Spirit does not seem as well known, even to Christians, as does the Father and the Son. It's easy for us to picture Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. We can do so literally. He's the baby lying in a manger in Bethlehem. He's the man standing in the Jordan River being baptized by John. There, sitting on the mountain preaching his great sermon. There, breaking bread and feeding 5,000. There, calming the storm. There, hanging on the cross. There, standing in exaltation before his disciples, showing them his wounds. There, ascending into the heavens before their presence. Jesus is easily described in words and depicted in art. But the Holy Spirit is not. In Scripture, he appears in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism, and then also as tongues of fire on Pentecost. But his work, even today, is still hidden. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. He works through hearing. He works in ways that are not easily pictured or envisioned. I suppose it's for this reason that in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul came across some disciples in Ephesus who knew about Jesus, but hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So it's good that we are reminded as to who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus tells us that we should pray for him, and we should do this even if we don't know much about the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands it we ought to do it. But knowing who the Holy Spirit is, knowing what he does, this will certainly strengthen our faith, and it will help us to pray for his blessing more fervently. And so to prepare us for Pentecost next week, as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, today we take some time to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus says he is the helper. Jesus says he is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says he is the witness. And as such, the helper, the Spirit of truth, and the witness, the Holy Spirit works in and through the church, past, present, and future, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the same way he ascended long ago. First of all, the Holy Spirit works externally through the testimony of the apostles. As Jesus said, he bears witness to Jesus Christ, who is crucified and risen indeed for sinners. On the night of his betrayal, as we heard moments ago, Jesus told the apostles that the Spirit of truth would bear witness about him, and they also would bear witness. It was for this purpose that Christ had called the apostles at the beginning of his ministry, to be with him from the beginning, to accompany him every step of his journey, a journey that would end at the cross. Jesus called them so that they would see and hear his divine works and words, all that they might bear witness following his ascension and the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost. So the Apostle John stresses at the beginning of his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. So far, John. The apostles bore witness to what they heard and saw from Jesus, having been with him from the beginning. But they did not bear witness to Jesus alone. They confessed in the book of Acts, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And the Spirit sent by Christ from the Father, would ensure that the eyewitness testimony of the apostles was a divine testimony, a testimony filled with the power of God. For the Spirit would give force to their evidence. He would give power to the words they preached and wrote. The Spirit would support their testimony with many mighty miracles. Again, Jesus promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance all things, that he would teach them all things. We know how on earth the testimony of eyewitnesses is often unreliable and biased. You could have two people see the same exact event and yet see two totally different things. But the apostles' eyewitness testimony is sure. It is certain. The Holy Spirit guarantees that their testimony has no errors, no mistakes, and no contradictions. For he is the Spirit of truth, after all. And therefore we can be certain that even still today, the witness of the apostles stands firm. Their testimony isn't limited to the preaching of the past. The testimony of the apostles is for all ages. The Holy Spirit still bears witness through the written word of the apostles and the prophets besides. That's why in Psalm 119, that great psalm of the word, it is called over and over again God's testimony. Still today, the Holy Spirit testifies through the word that you hear, the word that you read, testifying in the law that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But still the Holy Spirit testifies in the gospel that we are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. The Holy Spirit is still bearing witness to Christ, even as the apostles are bearing witness through their word. And the Holy Scriptures, that which is breathed out by God, When the Holy Scriptures are read and heard, the Holy Spirit is there, doing what Jesus promised he would do, bearing witness to Christ, his person, his work, his salvation for you. And yes, through that external written word, that which is the testimony of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit then works internally in your hearts, creating and sustaining faith in you. And so the Apostle Paul writes, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." The Apostle John writes, "Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself." Yes, when we hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit is there in us, bringing us to repentance for our sins, creating in us a sure trust in Christ for life and salvation, making us careful, as we heard the prophet Ezekiel foretell, careful to walk in God's commandments and statutes, doing good works that flow forth as the fruits of faith. He is there to give us confidence in every trial and tribulation that we face, yes, even in the midst of persecution from the world. And he is there to keep us in this one true faith, even unto life everlasting. The Holy Spirit is at work in ways that we cannot see. This is all included in that word Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit, helper. Now, this word outside of the New Testament has legal connotations. It often refers to one who is called or summoned to help or assist you in a legal matter. Not so much a lawyer, but more like a character witness, so to speak. The kind of helper Jesus says the Holy Spirit is one who brings counsel and comfort to you, especially when you stand accused before a judge, which is why that word is sometimes translated counselor, advocate, or yes, comforter. And this is exactly what we need. For the devil is the great accuser. He would accuse you of your sins before God's throne of judgment day and night. He has mountains of evidence. All of your sins and iniquities, all those wicked thoughts, words, and deeds, all those times you failed to keep what God has commanded, to love your neighbor as yourself. Because of these, Satan calls on God to condemn, to judge, to send both body and soul to hell. And along with the devil's accusations, there are the accusations of our own hearts and consciences. For we as Christians know the law of God. We know it very well. We know what he has told us to do and not to do in the Ten Commandments. But we also know how we have failed to do what is right and often done what is wrong. The heart, the conscience, often feels God's anger and recognizes what is justly deserved because of sin. But the Spirit is the helper, sent by Christ, sent from the Father. And so the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." The Spirit is the helper sent by Christ, who stands before God's judgment throne. And when the devil tries to bring forth the mountain of sins, calling for condemnation, the Spirit instead brings forth the finished work of Christ for you, for your redemption. And when the devil and the conscience accuse you and remind you of your sins and those justly deserved temporal and eternal punishments, the Holy Spirit again is your helper to bring forth the comforting promises of God, the certain word of his grace, his forgiveness, and his gift of eternal life. Yes, the Spirit helps us in our weakness by bearing witness to Christ, by bearing witness to his work for you, by reminding you and casting away the devil with this truth: Jesus is the perfect payment for all your sins and iniquities. And the righteous one whose works are counted to you by grace and grace alone. And the Spirit's help extends even further than that. For even as we live in this creation which groans and subject to futility, we face many other sorrows, things besides temptation to guilt and shame. Our flesh and heart fail in the face of an uncertain future. We bear heavy burdens of sadness and trials and tribulations. We face opposition from those who even think that they are serving God by persecuting the church. But here again, the Holy Spirit remains our helper, so that we would not collapse under the weight of these crosses, as heavy as they may be. Christ has sent the Spirit to give us strength in our weakness and light in our darkness. And He, the Helper, is the Spirit of truth. And so we can be sure and certain that the help and comfort He brings are true also. Here in this world, all earthly help and comfort is at best temporary. It's often uncertain. Sometimes it's even false. It lasts for a moment and then it disappears. But the help and comfort of the Holy Spirit is eternal, unfailing, and true. He alone grants the peace that passes all understanding. And this should bring us great joy, even in the midst of trial. When we are in the middle of sorrow, temptation, or yes, even plagued with despair, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us comfort. And when we feel even just a little bit of comfort, even just a little bit of strength, in the midst of these sorrows and struggles, we can be sure that it is none other than the Holy Spirit who is there at work in our hearts through the Word of God. In that hour of temptation, we can be sure that the Lord has not cast us aside, but will give us strength to overcome those temptations and finally win the victory. In the midst of our tribulations, we can be sure that the Lord is with us and that He will see us safely through them all. Because the Holy Spirit is God, God Himself, not merely God's energy or work or power, and we can be sure that His help and comfort is far greater than whatever accusations, troubles, or sorrows the devil, the world, and the flesh could send our way. And even the Holy Spirit is there when comfort is needed the most. That is at the hour of death. In that hour, only the consolations of God can cheer our soul. Only God can be the strength of our heart and our portion forever. But in that hour, the Holy Spirit proves Himself finally to be the Spirit of truth, the helper, the comforter, the one who bears witness to Christ who is risen indeed. Yes, the Holy Spirit is at work in the hearts of those who believe, creating in them faith, keeping them in the faith. And to be sure, we don't always feel or perceive the Spirit's help in us. The work of the Holy Spirit sometimes lies hidden, but we know that within there is the old Adam who remains as well. Amid the pressure of temptations and persecutions within and without, the hustle and bustle of all the temporal affairs of this life, and the burden of the cross, sometimes it may seem that in our search for comfort we can find none. When that happens, don't look within. Look to that eternal, visible, tangible mean which God has set up, through which He gives the Holy Spirit to strengthen your faith. That is God's Word and the sacraments, the means of grace. The Holy Spirit truly dwells within your hearts as you believe. But for assurance, don't look in your heart, but look to the Word. Look to that Word which you can see. Listen to the Word which you can hear with your ears. Listen to the Gospel. Listen to what the Spirit testifies about Christ your Savior. For through this the Holy Spirit comes and gives you true help and comfort. Through this He does what Jesus said. Again, Pentecost is just around the corner. Ascension has just passed. On that day, Thursday, we heard the angels testify to the disciples, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven." As we reach the end of this first half of the church year, our thoughts should go to the end of all things. which Peter says is at hand. Christ has ascended. The Holy Spirit has been given. And so there's only one thing that still remains: Jesus to return visibly. This is at hand. And we look forward to that day with eagerness, with expectation. For it is the marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end that will come on that day. And so we wait, but we do not wait alone. For we retain a helper, a spirit of truth, a witness to the end. And that is the Holy Spirit, God Himself. In the strength that He supplies, therefore, we pray, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me." And in the confidence that He alone bestows, we confess in return, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The answer is no one, for the Holy Spirit has been given to be your helper, to be the spirit of truth, to bear witness to Jesus. He is, and He does all this for you to the very end. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.